I don't know how far into this we're going to get today, but I was asking the Holy Spirit what he wanted us to talk about today. So we're going to talk about integrity of our faith in the waiting. Integrity of our faith in the waiting. How do we hold our integrity of faith as we wait? Is the question today. And in Job 2, verse 3, the scripture says, God was saying this, he remains firm in his integrity, even though you have been urging me to overwhelm him without cause. How do we remain firm in our integrity of faith in the waiting? Because you know when you have something that has a strong integrity, right? Think of like a bridge that has strength and integrity in the moment, but as the weight comes on it, you know, like there's bridges that can't hold a certain amount of weight. As weight comes on it and sits and sits and sits, the integrity of that starts to break down. So how do we hold our integrity in our faith in the waiting? So integrity means this: whole, entire, undiminished, sound, perfect condition, the quality or state of being complete. So how do we, as believers, as women of faith, bring that to our faith? How do we bring completeness to our faith? How do we bring undiminished faith? How do we hold on to a perfect condition of faith? What does that even look like? To have a faith that does not weaken in the waiting, that does not weaken under the weight of waiting. Faith that does not weaken under the weight of compressed challenges. When challenges come and start to compress our faith, because we all have a measure of faith that we've been given, and we know how to strengthen our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But what happens when that starts to get compressed with other things, and now we're believing in another area, now our faith is being stretched, and now our faith has to increase? How do we hold that integrity of the faith that we first came to the Lord with? And that's what I feel the Holy Spirit wants us to talk about today. Amen? So we've activated a measure of faith that we currently have for the situation we're in. We've read, we've prayed, we've spoken, and then repeat. We've read, we've prayed, we've spoken, and repeat. Right? This is what we do. We've read, we've prayed, we've spoken, and repeat. How do we hold that integrity of doing that? How do we stay consistent in doing that? And I want to look at this portion of scripture in 2 Peter 1. And this is really interesting because I heard a pastor talk very briefly on this scripture, and it stuck so, you know how Paulie will say it stuck like oatmeal? He says that. Stuck like oatmeal, and then the Holy Spirit expands it for what we need it for. And it's very interesting because I taught this scripture before as the building blocks of faith. But I want to look at it in this respect today. And it is about a supplement of our faith. This is how we're going to hold the integrity of our faith under the pressure, in the waiting, when things start to compress upon our faith that we're holding. And we're holding strong, and we're holding strong. And we don't want our knees to buckle in faith. We're going to supplement it. So 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8, and I'm going to read this morning out of the Passion Translation. And I'm going to start in verse 3. It says, "Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him, through the glorious manifestation of his goodness. And as a result of this, he has given you magnificent promise beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, we can experience partnership with the divine nature, by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. So devote yourselves to lavishly supplementing your faith with goodness, and to goodness add understanding, and to understanding add the strength of self-control, to self-control add patient endurance, to patient endurance add godliness, and to godliness add mercy towards your brothers and sisters, and to mercy towards others add unending love. So right here in this portion of scripture, we see that we have been given faith. We all have it. Because he does not say supply your faith. Supply faith, you already have faith. So we have this measure of faith. But to this faith, we are instructed here to add to it, to supplement. Supplement means something added to complete a thing. So we're told here, in order to complete our faith, we have to supplement some characteristics of God, that divine nature of God. And it's something that we already have. We're not deficient in any area. So it's already there. Verse 3 says we've already been given this. So it's already there. So we're not deficient in any area. We're not deficient in godliness. We're not deficient in understanding or goodness or self-control or endurance. We have no deficiency. We are sufficient in Christ's sufficiency, and we lack for no good thing. So this is something that we already have in us from the divine nature of God, but God is calling us here and now to stir that up. Stir up the goodness so that our faith stays supported and supplemented here. Stir up that endurance so that our faith doesn't crumble under pressure in the waiting. Stir it up, that self-control. What area do we need to find self-control in? Stir it up, because our faith needs to be girded up under right now in the waiting. So supplement means to add something added to complete a thing, or reinforce or extend a whole. We're talking about reinforcing our faith today so that we can stand up in the waiting. And we can stand up under the pressure, because there's pressure coming against our faith. And this right here, this supplementing, is going to bring a reinforcement in our faith. Amen? Amen. The scripture says, add these things or increase these things in your life to your faith, because they're already there. So we're going to ask the Lord. And as we go through this list, just ask the Lord, Lord, show me, what area do I need to increase this in? Lord, do I need to increase in my patience? Show me so that my faith can be reinforced. Lord, is it goodness? Show me this so that I can reinforce my faith. Is it knowledge and understanding? Where is it, Lord? Because it's there, and God is calling us today to bring it, to reinforce, to supplement. We have a measure of faith, and it's time to add to that today. Again, verse 3 says, we have everything we need. We are enabled to become more like Jesus every day. And that's what this is. This is the divine nature of God. The very nature of God is on the inside of us. Every characteristic of God is in us today. And God is calling that and stirring that up. Amen? And one of the interesting things in the waiting is, I believe that the enemy wants us to feel when we are waiting that we are stagnant and not doing anything. And that's a lie. Because our faith is an action word. He wants you to feel stagnant and quit and give up in the waiting. But we're not gonna. Amen. We're not gonna quit and give up. We're exposing every lie of the enemy. The enemy wants us to think in the waiting that we are being passive. So we might as well just quit and give up. That we're not able to do anything. Our hands are tied. And no woman likes to feel out of control. Right? Come on. We all like to be a little bit in control. Have our hands in everything going on. And God's saying, I want the control. I'm going to take this over. And if you have to wait and watch me work, you're going to wait.
Yeah, amen.
Right? The enemy wants to give us a false outlook on this and be like, I'm waiting so long. God has let me down. No. We just said God has a perfect love. He never lets us down. These are lies that the enemy wants to try to plant seeds of lies. Nikki calls them weed seeds. Weed seeds. And if we entertain them, then we feed them. Yeah. But let's expose them today. Yeah, in the waiting, we have not missed God. Mm-hmm. We're not going to miss God. We're his daughters. We know his voice. Amen? Amen? Amen. We want to say in the lie that God isn't working for us here, so I'm going to take the control back. Because God's not working here. That's a lie from the enemy. Amen, that's right. And as we add and supplement the goodness, the godliness, the perseverance to this, we expose the plans of the enemy and we gird up our faith. And that's what we're going to talk about. Amen? Amen. We have faith being strengthened today. Our faith is being reinforced today through the word of God. So there's an attitude shift because we need integrity of our faith, but we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional. These words here are intentional. It's an intentional to add, to supplement. You know, when you take supplements or vitamins, that doesn't mean you stop what you're doing and eating healthy things, drinking your water. You're adding specific supplements that your body needs. These are specific additions to faith. So there's a reason. There's a reason this is how we're being instructed. These are the things that will reinforce our faith. So again, he's not saying supply faith. We already have that. It's assumed here. I'm very confident. I'm not even assuming. I know each of you in here has faith. And you have faith for the situation you're facing. You don't need new faith. You don't need more faith. You already have faith. We're just going to reinforce that faith through the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Another definition of this word supply in the Greek means to richly supply everything needed for an ancient chorus to become a grand production. So think about a chorus and everything needed. That's what this supply is doing. That's what all these characteristics of the divine nature of God is doing to your faith. It's bringing it up to be like a crescendo of a chorus. Isn't that a beautiful visual when you see, or when you hear an orchestra? Miss Penny, you've sat through many a concerts. When you hear an orchestra and one instrument starts playing and another instrument starts playing, and all of a sudden you have this beautiful harmony of the same song. That song is our faith. And each one, each piece of this right now is coming to bring it together so that it can be harmonious in the Lord. Amen? Amen. All outfitted, it says, all that is needed to accomplish the grand objective. There's an objective motive to your faith. Whatever that you had put your faith on earlier, that one thing, that was the first thing that your faith went to. Think about that right now. And as we talk about all these things to supplement, it's going to reinforce your faith for that objective. In Jesus' name, that's what will take place. I want to read 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7 in the Phillips translation. And the beginning of this chapter said that God has done his part. See to it that you do yours. Because everything we need, we've been given. Everything we need, we've been given. So in the Phillips translation, it reads this way. For this very reason, you must do your utmost from your side and see that your faith carries with it real goodness of life. Your goodness must be accompanied by knowledge. Your knowledge by self-control. Your self-control by the ability to endure. Your endurance must also be accompanied by devotion to God. Then in turn, must have in it the quality of brotherliness, and your brotherliness must lead to Christian love. That's what we are going to be supplementing to our faith. Because our faith is our trust in God, right? Our faith is our belief. We believe in the Word of God. We believe that God is the Creator. We believe in Jesus as our Savior. We have faith to believe in his promises. But as I said, in the waiting, in this waiting time, what do we need to add? And there was two stories in the Word that the Holy Spirit led me to about waiting. And I want to just talk briefly about these two stories. And it was back in the summer, the story of Jairus in Luke 8. So Jairus was a synagogue leader. This was the man who ran out of the temple and fell at the feet of Jesus because his daughter was dying. And at first I was like, Lord, that's such humble faith. There was this man, this leader. He was Jewish, but he wasn't a follower of Christ at the time. He had just heard stories about him, about the Lord. And he ran out and humbled himself and just fell at the feet of Jesus saying, my daughter is dying and I need you to come heal her. And when I had first started studying it, along with the story of the woman with the issue of blood, I was just thinking of what humble faith this is. And in the middle of all that came about waiting, because here's what happened to Jairus, because we know that the story goes, he comes out, stops Jesus, but the woman with the issue of blood, right? The story, it's all in the same chapter. And then Jesus goes to Jairus's house. Now, I want you to just step in this with me, because Jesus is coming into town. He comes out, right? Jairus sees him, stops. The crowd now comes around Jesus, pushes Jairus further and further away. So now there's distance between the one who can heal his daughter and him and his faith, because he had faith to believe that the healer was going to heal his daughter. But now there's space and there's distance and there's time. There's a time lapse taking place here. In that time, in that moment, in the distance between him and his answer to something so dear to his heart that he was believing for, what was his attitude in that faith moment? The integrity of his faith in that moment. If he looked at what happened and said, great, he stopped for them when I stopped him. I stopped him and they came and pushed me out of the way. What was the integrity of his faith? Great, now I'm not going to get my miracle. My daughter's dying. What is his, is there resentment? She just got a miracle. My daughter's dying. Where is our integrity of faith in goodness, in godliness, in patience, in endurance? And I'm talking to me. I told you, the Holy Spirit showed me this message in a whole other way. In understanding, in temperance, in self-control. The self-control of this man to take a step back. Brotherly kindness to let someone else get their miracle first while he was waiting for his miracle. We don't even have patience in a bank line. Come on, I don't even like waiting in Walmart. Right, going through a toll booth. I don't like waiting anywhere anymore. But no less for our miracle that we know is right there. The answer to the problem he had in front of him. He was at the, he humbled himself. He could be thinking, I humbled myself. As a man of authority, I bowed my knee. And now somebody is pushed me right out of the way. That humility, that humbleness could have went to being humiliated and walking away. The integrity of our faith. The enemy wants to make that distance, the waiting time between the right here and our promise, compromised. We're not going to compromise our faith. We're going to keep the godliness of our faith. It's okay if we step back and let someone else get their miracle. You know why? We still have our miracle. Amen. Our miracle is coming. Our promise is here. But when we lose sight of the one who has it, and that distance starts to come in between, the enemy wants us to compromise our faith and lose the integrity of that faith that we came to first with the Lord. And we're not going to let that happen. God's not going to let that happen because we're going to hold on to our integrity. What if he walked away? What if he really let the crowd put such resentment in his heart that he just went back to where he came from and went the long way around home? He would have missed his miracle if he left. Ladies, you are at the point of no return. There's no need to turn back now. You have too much time seed invested. You have too much word seed invested. You have too much financial seed invested. We're not going to turn back now. We're not going to turn back now. We've come too far in Jesus' name. Amen? By faith, we've come this far. Because of the power of the Almighty God, we've come this far. It's not in ourselves. It's through the power of the living God we are here today, and we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. If anything other than the nature of God, anger, frustration, jealousy, resentment, self-pity, if any of that came in to Jairus in that moment, it would have weakened his faith. And his daughter never would have breathed again. The integrity of our faith is what's being challenged. But we have everything we need to reinforce that faith. That's what verse 3 says there. You've already been given this. The godliness, the self-control, the knowledge, the endurance, the brotherly love, the unconditional love. We've already been given it. So we can reinforce our faith today in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. The other story that the Lord showed me was about Joseph, because this was a long wait. From the point of dream to the manifestation of it. We're not going to get into that right now. I want to talk about some of these characteristics, if that's okay with you. The first thing is to encourage our faith, to steward our faith, to stir up our faith, to keep it from diminishing. The word says, supplement your faith with goodness. With goodness. And this word here means the virtue of Christian energy. I thought that was an interesting definition. Then when I looked into it, it said discerning between good and evil and avoiding evil. Avoiding evil, choosing what is good. And this is choosing to conform to the standard of right. What is our standard, ladies? It's the word of God. This is our gauge for life. So the first thing that we are called to add to our faith is goodness, which means to always check good or evil, righteous or unrighteous. It comes right down the line. What are we allowing in? What thoughts are penetrating our mind? What actions? What input are we taking in that's trying to diminish and break down our faith? I keep seeing a bridge this morning. What's coming to try to knock down that foundation of the bridge of your faith? Because our faith holds up our promises. Come on, let's think about this. There's a reason the Holy Spirit has this image in my mind. If our faith is holding up our promises and the enemy is trying to diminish our faith, he's trying to knock out that foundation of our faith, and he cannot in Jesus' name. So we have to hold up that standard, our gauge of the word of God always. So the first thing was goodness. The second thing that we're adding and supplementing our faith with, we have goodness. And now we're going to add understanding and knowledge. Now, this has to do with the word of God and the character of God. This is about the practical daily wisdom being spirit-led in our lives. And this is not just about knowing the word. This is about experiencing the word. This is about gaining that direct relationship, that clear and exact knowledge. So we have the information here, but we want to move this information to be experience. We're taking the information and now we're going to experience the word of God. We are participants. We are not spectators. The minute we are pushed in the waiting to just be a spectator and watch what's happening is the minute the enemy will come in and start to diminish our faith. The minute we have put ourselves in a spectator role and we stop participating, we stop the word, we stop the reading, we stop the confession, we stop the worshiping. The minute we start doing that, we have become a spectator and we are missing out on the understanding part of this, because the understanding is talking about our experience. Because once we experience God, nobody can ever stop us in that area again, right? Once we know, we are out of that, we are out of the secondhand information and we have firsthand experience, nobody can tell you any different. So grab hold of that firsthand experience with God and set aside the secondhand information and say, Lord, I'm not here for secondhand. I'm not here for secondhand. I'm not here for someone's hand-me-downs. I want firsthand information. And I'm all about secondhand stuff. I love consignment shopping, so I'm just saying. But this is about firsthand experience with God. First-hand experience with God. And if the enemy has ever told you that you don't deserve that, that that's not yours, that is a lie from the enemy. Amen. Yeah. The cross is a leveling place. The blood of Jesus Christ has made us joint heirs with him. We are daughters of the Most High God. And our divine right, our portion, is first-hand experiences of his miraculous taking place in our lives. Amen. Anything less is unacceptable. And that's what we have to get so stirred up in our spirit. Anything less is not where we belong. Amen? Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. Knowledge is gain as we work to apply what we have heard. We've heard the word. We've heard the word. We've heard the word. Now it's time to apply the word. Amen. In every area, discerning to know what to do and when to do it. We know the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if you feel like you are having trouble hearing and discerning, start saying, I have ears to hear. I know the voice of the Good Shepherd. I know my Father's voice and I obey his voice. Start declaring it over yourself. What it is that you feel is diminishing, start speaking it out because it's all in you already. It's already been given to us. Hallelujah. Temperance and self-control is the next. So we have our faith and now we're supplementing the goodness, the standard of God, the good and evil. We know what's good and we're going to stay with that. And now we're taking all knowledge, the intelligence that we know of God's word, of God's character, and we're living that out every day. And now we're taking temperance and self-control. This self-control extends over to the whole of our life. The whole of our life, self-control. Restraint exercised over one's own impulses, emotions, or desires. That's what this means. Self-control and temperance means strong and controlled, restrained, strong in a thing. We have enough self-control. I used to say, I'm using up all my self-control in one area, so I'm going to. And that was just my flesh wanting to give in to eating junk because I was using my self-control in every other area, God. And he's like, I think I gave you enough for it all. Correction, daughter. Yes, Father, I take that correction. We have enough self-control for every area of our life. One of the scripture verses that the Holy Spirit put in my heart for this was Titus 2, 11 through 12, and it says this, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. It trains us up to reject godless ways and worldly desires and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." Here's my question for us today. What in this present age, right now, in this present age, is the Holy Spirit saying you need self-control here? You need to be temperate here. Because it's different in every age and stage that we're in. So in this present age, first in the world that we're in, one of the things that the Holy Spirit was showing me that in this present age, worry and anxiety is very easy to give into. Mm-hmm. Let's be self-controlled in that area. Amen. Let's protect what's coming in and coming out. And when we have anxiety and worry, it's because we are not in control. So we're not trusting the one that is in control. Yeah. So let's ask ourselves some questions sometimes. What is it in this present age? What is it right now where you are personally that this is your present age that the Lord is saying we need to be temperate and self-controlled right here and right now? Yeah. I don't know. What is it for you? I know what different things throughout my life has been self-control. You know, when I was a young mom, I needed to be self-controlled in my reactions. I was a quick reactor. To my children, God bless my oldest because he got the brunt of me and my calls. And I was crying from the bathroom because I didn't have the self-control that I needed as a young mom. But that was my present age. That was the self-control I needed. And when I tapped into what the Lord had put on the inside of me, I had the self-control. And I was able to control the words and control the actions and create an atmosphere in my home that was godly and beautiful because what the divine nature brings to us, that our corrupt nature and our flesh nature is dying, amen? But now, what is it here in my present age that I need the self-control in? It's different. It's different here now, 25 years later. There's a different need that needs to be temperate and self-control. I think it's still my mouth sometimes, though. Sometimes. But what are we allowing in that area that the Lord is calling us to be self-controlled? What is it? Is it our emotions? Is it our words? We are called to bring balance into all things. And I want to read this sentence from Matthew Henry. He's a commentator I really like, and he was here on earth in the 1800s. So when I get to heaven, I'm really going to be excited to talk to him because I feel like I know what his voice is going to sound like because I read him constantly. But he says this, balance in the things we know are good, moderate in the good things of the natural life. Here's another question about in this present age. So many times we think something's good and we get off balance. We can be off balance in an area that's good. He's saying right here, in this was a commentary right for this scripture verse. He's saying balance in the things that we know are good and moderate in the good things of the natural life. There's a lot of good things that we could be doing and running to and signing our kids up to and involved in. There's a lot of good teachings out there and there's a lot of good places we could go. Where's the Lord asking you to be? Let's be self-controlled and temperate in the areas that God is leading us. Because we can get off balance, and that's not having self-control. Is that making sense to anyone here today? So, and then what happens is the end, we get tired physically get tired because we are outputting in areas we should not be outputting in. Because the Lord never told us to be involved in everything, to be on every committee. The Lord never told us to be running here and there. The Lord never told us to sign our children up for everything under the sun. Just because something's good does not mean we need to be involved in it. And that goes with everything. My stop of social media is literally stopping listening to the thousands of messages of preaching that's out there. Because here's the other thing. We get too busy and there's too much conversation and not enough worship. It's too much conversation and not enough worship. Not enough time with just us and the Lord. So what do we need to be self-controlling? Because that's going to break down our faith. It's going to stop the integrity of our faith if we're too tired running here and there, listening to everything that's out there, and not being balanced in what's good. Balance in the things we know are good. Moderate in the good things of the natural life. All the good that's out there. All the good. There's so many good things, so many good teachings, so many good things our kids can be involved in, so many good things we can go and do. I love going and doing. I love it. But there's times we need to stop and rest our body, rest our emotions, stop the conversations, and spend time quiet with the Lord and reprioritize. We might need to reprioritize some things, ladies, to keep the integrity of our faith. The next word is patient and endurance. The ability to sustain a prolonged stressful effort. That's what this word endurance means. We have endurance. We have in us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the ability to sustain a prolonged stressful effort. You might feel like your faith has been a prolonged stressful effort. That bridge just starting to feel like it's going to falter. You have endurance. Acknowledge, I have endurance today. If that's you, say, I have endurance today. I have the ability to stand up under this in Jesus' name. It's the waiting, the perseverance, and to suppress our own restlessness. We get restless as women, I think, right? We get a little anxious when things just don't happen in the timing we want them to happen. We have endurance. We have patience. We want to wait for the Isaac promise and not create Ishmael problems. Ooh, but if we don't learn to be patient and endure in the waiting, we will create Ishmael problems and we will miss out on our Isaac promises. James 5:7, as we are waiting, God is producing something in us. As we are waiting, God is doing something in us in the waiting, if we allow him to, if we're not getting restless, if we are acknowledging the fact that we have the perseverance that we can sustain this wait. God, I'm going to sustain this wait because you're doing something right now. God, you are doing something behind the scenes. God, you are working something out, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen after the wait. Again, we have come too far. We're not going to quit now. We're not going to lose out on what is being made valuable in the process of the waiting. There's something being made in you. There's a process taking place. There's a process. There's a change. In the waiting, what is it? Ask the Lord. Look back at some of the other moments that you have had to wait and look back and acknowledge, Lord, in that waiting time, what did I learn? In that waiting time, what did I gain? Because we don't want to miss out. I always say this. We don't want to leave a season so quick that we missed out on what we gained here because God is doing something here. And in that, you are being made into a great vessel, a vessel that God can use, that God can pour out, a vessel of honor used for his glory. That's what's taking place in your life in the waiting. That's what God wants to do. He has a purpose in the timing of everything. We don't understand it. But as we pull on what is in us, the divine nature of God, the patience, the endurance, we're going to see that take place. Amen. James 1, 2 through 4 says, count it all joy when trials and tests come. This is a real sticky scripture. Just sticky. Sometimes I don't want to do that. But when we count something, think about counting something. When I read this scripture, I thought about those beads. You know those little toys that have the color beads, the red and yellow and blue, and you count them? I'm going to take this trial right here, and I'm counting it on the side of joy. Yeah. Come on, everybody put your finger up. And what is your trial? Not at me, Bridget. Don't point your finger. Point your finger up and slide it. I'm counting this trial right here as joy. Come on, I'm counting this trial as joy. All the beads are going right across. I'm counting them all as joy. They're not joyful over here. It's a trial, it's a test. We are called, count it all joy. That's on our part. There's a test, there's a trial, there's trouble happening. But I'm gonna just count that over on this side as joy now. And now I can wait. Now I can endure. Because I have joy in this. That's not joy, but I'm counting it as if it is joy. Amen? Amen, Valerie. I love that. The blood of Jesus right over that. Amen. Because all the while God is working. That's why we can count it as joy. The next thing that we are adding, because we've already added, we've added goodness, the standard of righteousness, understanding and knowledge, taking the word, and becoming a doer of the word, our experiences, our firsthand experience, temperance and self-control, we've added that. We're going to be self-controlled and balanced in this present age where we are right now. Is it our thoughts? Are we battling anxious thoughts? Where do we need self-control? Is it our time? Is it our output? Reprioritize our homes, our lives. Holy Spirit, guide our thoughts and our actions. Temperate and self-control. And then to that, we are supplementing endurance and patience. We're counting it as joy. The next is godliness. Our devotion to God to transform us. Godliness. Add to these things, the next supplement is godliness. Colossians 3:3 says, we are hidden in Christ. It starts with you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ. I love that verse, I'm hidden in Christ. I say that a lot. But the front of that verse says that you have died. You've died. So where there was flesh and old stuff and my personality or my way of doing, my way of thinking needs to die so that godliness can come in here. Heaven's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. We want his ways, his thoughts. We want godliness, which comes from our devotion to God. Which is exactly one thing that will take out the integrity of your faith is when we stop that devotion to God. That devotion to God, devoting our time, our energies to you, God. Devotion to God in reverence, in worship, which is not hours at a time spent in the presence of God. It is an attitude. It is a lifestyle of devotion to God. That's where godliness comes in. Being Christ-like. His kindness, his word spoken in the moment of need. Godliness. If we think in any situation, Lord, I want your godliness. I devote myself to you right now. Instantly, his words, his fruit of the Spirit is going to rise up on the inside of it. We're going to put ourselves, we're going to die to the way we would do, we would say, we want. We're going to die to that. And we're hidden in Christ Jesus. I am hidden. The person that I am is hidden. And what is seen should be Christ Jesus, I hope. I can't guarantee it every moment of every day, but that's what I'm striving for. Because you don't need my Nickyisms and my two cents. We need God and his words coming out. But in order to do that, we have to choose to devote ourselves to God in devotion to him. And that's where godliness comes in. Let's shoot down to brotherly kindness is the next thing. This is that part about giving up. This definition here, it says, gives up so others can have. always unselfish, seeking the best for one another. This is Jairus taking a step back in that moment and watching someone else receive a miracle. Come on, how many times has someone got a new job and you're praying for? Someone's gotten that new home they're believing for. Someone got that financial blessing that you're believing for, yeah. Right? And you're like, I've been waiting on that.
Yeah.
Where's mine? Right there in that moment, it's a heart check.
Yeah.
It's a heart check. Brotherly kindness says, you take all yours because I trust my God is going to give me mine. Brotherly kindness says, you go first. Get your miracle. You need your miracle. Brotherly kindness is acknowledging someone else's need may be greater than mine.
Right.
Kindness, love, from deep within the heart, this definition says. It says, aiming towards the common purpose of a family, the family of God, bound together by the same spirit. That's what each of us are to one another. We're the family of God. So just like you may do for your family or your own, that's how we should be in respect to one another.
Amen.
To do and to serve and to say and to extend and to be present in a conversation. Brotherly kindness. This is the integrity of our faith, not being distracted with, God, where is mine? I need mine. As somebody's giving you their testimony and you're like, checking out because I didn't get mine yet. Brotherly kindness gives up so others can have. Gives up so others can have. This is about not being rude or cutting or gullible. Don't get mixed up in negative of someone else's. When we say let someone else have and someone else go, this is not about becoming a welcome mat for someone. There's a big difference there. If this is an area you feel challenged with, remember Jesus said to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Not sure why I typed that out to go with this, but it must be for someone in here today. Don't mistake brotherly kindness for becoming a welcome mat for anyone. Amen? I'm going to leave it at that. Brotherly kindness means to be like-minded, love one another, be compassionate. This is what is already in us to do and to be for those around us, for those in need. Look around and notice if someone else has a need. So many times we're so distracted with our own need that we don't look to see if someone else has a need. If someone else needs a hello, if someone else needs a hug, if someone else needs you to pray for them. Because in that, you're activating your faith. You're keeping the integrity. Remember, this all has to do with the integrity of our faith for the one thing we're believing for. And all these things can add and replenish that. Amen?
Amen.
Our last one here, and as we wind to a close, is love. Is perfect love. And that's in 1 Corinthians. It says here, love is large, incredibly patient. Love is gentle, consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements or inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. This is the love that can supplement our faith today in Jesus. And as we close, I just want to give you a quick acronym for the word wait, because we're talking about waiting in faith and the integrity of our faith. I'm not going to go over all the scriptures that go along with this. I just want to put a button on this today, because we talked about a lot of different characteristics, the nature of God, that 2 Peter verse 3 that says, in us already is this divine nature. So we're going to pull on it. And I believe that the Holy Spirit's going to show you as you ask him. We have to ask him. We have to say, Holy Spirit, show me. He's a gentleman. He's not going to tell us if we're not asking. Ask him, Lord, which one of these qualities do I need to build up my faith, to supplement my faith? Because I have faith. Acknowledge that we have faith. We're women of faith. But what do I need to reinforce that faith so I can hold out in the waiting? And the acronym for wait that the Lord gave me is watchful, You can write down just the reference, Psalms 27:14. Alert. And the alert here is in protection mode. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watchful, alert, intentional in our prayers and confession. If we are in the waiting, if we are waiting in faith, believing for God, we need to be intentional in our prayers and in our confession. Write down for that one, 1 John 5:14. And then the T in wait is trust. Lean into the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:12, in wait. We have integrity of faith, ladies. We have faith that has integrity. Faith that is undiminished. Faith that is perfect condition. Faith that is the state of being complete as we add these divine characteristics of God to our lives. Amen.